He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz, Julian Council producing. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Trying to get you caught up on everything that's been happening. But in the process of the big weekend in Nashville with Victor Arvidsson signing the contract, Sebastian Tretola being involved in another incident, this one in Arkansas. With all of that happening over the course of the weekend, we don't want to lose sight on, I don't know, a small coaching incident that seemed to happen last week, it seems. Hugh Freeze steps down. What does it mean for Ole Miss? What's going to happen next?
Air quotes there on the steps down.
Yeah, steps down. So Spencer Hall from Every Day Should Be Saturday joining us. Spencer, when you look at this this Ole Miss program in the future there, where do you think they go from here?
I think there are a couple of different options. Now, asking what's going to happen at Ole Miss is a dicey question at best. Just look at their recent history and who ended up there. Their last coaches, when you roll through, David Cutcliffe fired despite being relatively successful there. Ed Orgeron hired for some reason, well before he demonstrated any ability to be a head coach. He certainly didn't demonstrate much of that at Ole Miss. Although, really, like they had some successes, and they had a great coaching staff. It's one of those like kind of indie bands nobody really sort of heard of that influenced everybody. You look at that coaching staff, and you're like, wow, there's a lot of talented people here. What the hell happened? Then you end up with Houston Nutt, and then Hugh Freeze, like a hire who was basically there because he was extremely Ole Miss compatible culturally. He was a really, really, really intense recruiter. And ultimately, because he was successful. I mean, let's not forget that. Like, Hugh Freeze left on fire in this job, okay? Like, and not on fire in the good way, right? Charred, burned. It ended as badly as it could end. But it was pretty good there for a while. So where do they go? I don't know. You could choose stability. You could choose excitement. And I have a low bar here for what I expect people to do. I think they'll go as safe and steady and stable as they possibly can.
Is that something that is a short-term solution for them? You know, hey, guys, Matt Luke is as steady and as boring as it gets, but he could bridge the gap to the next guy. Do we think the guy that they hire is actually somebody that's going to be there long-term, or are they just going to bridge contract, essentially?
I think it's going to be a bridge no matter what happens, because I don't think they have the window right now to hire, right? We're not in sort of turnover season. For coaches, there's not a lot of availability, not a lot of things shaken loose. So you either deal with an interim, you deal with someone who is on the come up, you might be able to poach someone and poach someone pretty good from the lower ranks, right? Like if you hired your AAC or you hired your Sun Belt coach who was, you know, promising. That's, by the way, that's a route Ole Miss has done before. And yeah, I'm working to a specific suggestion here, but that's something Ole Miss has done before and been very successful, right? Hugh Freeze was at Arkansas State. And, you know, that's not the greatest, like, cradle of coaches until you start, you know, by reputation, until you start looking at who they've actually turned out, right? Brian Harsin and Gus Malzahn and Hugh Freeze. So, you know, which, by the way, that's who I'm suggesting. I think they go get Blake Anderson, because he's got some experience in Mississippi. He's very exciting. He's very aggressive, and he's done very well in that conference. But that's mostly so I can have one coach in the SEC whose coaching style I really like.
That's fantastic. I didn't see that coming. So when you start to think about this for this year, if you're the rest of the SEC and you look at Ole Miss, is it as simple as it's going to be chaos, pencil, and a win, or do you think that the talent there is still able to play through this and put out some competitive product?
I think there's enough talent there. They're going to be competitive, right? They can make your day a very bad day, right? I think it depends on how cohesive they really are and how many of those assistants they could keep in place. If you want an argument for letting Luke work and keeping everyone in place, it's looking at some place like Louisville that hired like a designated interim, right? Or I'm sorry, Arkansas, like they hired a designated interim after they lost Petrino. And that ended up being a year of complete and abject misery where they were barely competitive in many games, even as the season wore on and they sort of got their legs under them. So there's an argument for letting the interim stay on and seeing what they can do. There's also an argument for seeing, well, if there's somebody out there who we think is stable and can provide us with a good competitive basis for the next, like, you know, 4 years, because remember at Ole Miss, by the way, by state law, they can only offer four-year contracts. They can't do something like Matt Rhule has at Baylor, where he has a seven-year contract, right? The most stability they can offer is 4 years. I don't think that's a huge obstacle, but it's a little detail, and when you start to add up all the little details, including the not-so-little detail of this being a program in complete shambles at the moment, it tends to be a harder market the longer you look at it.
You mentioned coaches in the SEC and how you don't really like many of their coaching styles. Should every fan base in the SEC just settle for 9-3 until Nick Saban retires?
It might be a good thing to do. You might just want to hire someone exciting and hope for 9-3, right? Of course, that's not the attitude you want to have, but realistically, how many programs can compete with them? That's a really good question to ask, because I think the answer is probably more programs than you think. You just have to take certain tacks if your sole goal is beating Alabama, right? Because you probably won't be able to out-recruit them, because whatever system they've got in place there in terms of talent evaluation and overall kind of benefit package that they offer. By the way, I'm not being dirty there. I'm just saying, yeah, I mean, every school has a different sort of portfolio they present in terms of why you should come here. And obviously right now, Alabama's probably got the most appealing package, with the big chunk of that being your chances of going to the NFL are pretty good. But look at it this way. We're talking about Hugh Freeze, right? And this is a guy who was coaching, you know, I believe girls basketball at Briarcrest in Memphis a decade or so ago. And he ends up beating, you know, big bad Alabama twice in a row in 2014 to 2015 and giving them all they could handle in 2016. Now, you want to tell me that Ole Miss doing that is, you know, is amazing. There are programs with better resources and a better geographical footprint than Ole Miss. So what's everyone else doing, right? I don't think it's a matter of the lack of potential there. I think it's a matter of either the lack of will or the wrong strategies and the wrong approach to beating Alabama. So I'm not one of those people who's a complete doomsayer with it. There's no reason to be afraid of them, right? If Ole Miss can do it, frankly, anyone can.
We're talking to Spencer Hall from Every Day Should Be Saturday. Big Ten Media Days start today. What do you expect? I mean, I think we expect a little more personality out of that than we've gotten from some of the other media days. Is there anything that you're really expecting to come out of it, though?
Tuesday, P.J. Fleck. That's all.
Row the
That's
boat,
all
baby.
All I care about, okay? Everyone else, you got some veterans. You got some people who are going to, you know, be real excited. Y'all in Nashville are very familiar with the magnificent, loud, and enthusiastic PR show that James Franklin will roll out for Penn State. It's a good one, but if you heard it once, you probably heard it 100 times. There's something new. Tuesday, it's P.J. Fleck. P.J. Fleck is he's 110 volts in like an 80-volt battery. There's a lot going on there. So whatever happens there, it'll be loud, it'll be fast, it'll be slightly out of control.
Which is our favorite type of media day.
Yeah, that is.
That's exactly what we're looking for. Spencer, who did you the Gators in the East was my pick at SEC Media Days. Why would Florida not be the favorite over Georgia?
Florida would not be the favorite over Georgia because of weaknesses in the defense. We lost a lot in terms of experience and depth on defense. And I think the general theory among Florida fans, waiting to see how they replace all of the defensive talent that Will Muschamp recruited with the people that they've brought in. Jim McElwain's been a good recruiter. He has not been a great recruiter to this point, okay? That might change this year. There's a couple of big commits, especially on the offensive side, but I think people are concerned with how that's going to start to look as the talent they recruit gradually works its way up the depth chart and onto the field. So that's the big worry for Florida fans is, you know, can the secondary – hold up. Can we get a pass rush? Can the thing that's carried Florida through so many games to this point begin as it winnows out? Can the offense make up for that? Everybody's very excited, by the way, that like Felipe Franks threw a ball 70 yards through the air. Do you know the last time we saw a ball going 70 yards through the air at Florida? It might have been Rex Grossman.
Guys, you can read him.
Jamarcus Russell, man.
Yeah. EDSBS.com. Follow him on Twitter, EDSBS. Spencer Hall, Every Day Should Be Saturday, man. We appreciate your time.
All right, thank you.
Great stuff from Spencer. Gonna be a fun week for Big Ten Media Days. I'm not lying.
Harbaugh. Give me some Harbaugh, man.
You got James Franklin going to do whatever James Franklin always does. Harbaugh is going to be just a maniac that we're going to overcover.
Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern is always outspoken about particular issues. He'll have something to say. Mike Riley's like the nicest guy in the world. Paul Christ will just be regular old boring Paul Christ. Lovie Smith. I mean, there's some interesting coaches in the Big Ten. There's some interesting dudes.
Well, all the interesting coaches in
Maryland, very handsome.
This raises a question about, you know, we just talked about Ole Miss and the coaching situation there. The real question is, why can't people do what Ole Miss did? We'll dive into that. We'll do that next. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.